Hey, this is Wayne Cook, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for West Coast Bias, the show brought to you all the way from the best coast. It's the West Coast Bias, that is. Aw, yeah.
And welcome to the first ever... Well, first ever in my car, West Coast Bias CarCast. I think Jake and I did one last year after going to my first ever Laker postseason game, that overtime game against, who did they play that first? Oh, the Memphis Grizzlies, where LeBron James helped carry the Lakers to a 3-1 lead in that series. But anyway, it's a new year. Why am I doing a CarCast? Well, you guys probably know why, because it's... For me, it's 5:10 in the morning. I'm on my way to work, and I stupidly stayed up to watch the Lakers blow a 20-point lead against the Denver Nuggets to fall not only for the 10th straight time, both in postseason and regular season, but fall 0-2 now in a series that very little margin for error for the Lakers, and they've kind of proven everybody right after last year about what margins of error they had and what they needed to do, and they've completely cratered themselves as a contending team this year and probably for the future. Of course, before I get into all that, West Coast Bias is a member of the What's Brewing Network. We're talking about a bunch of great shows like the What's Brewing Symposium. I'm sure tonight the guys will start talking about spring practice or whatever it's called, the spring extravaganza. I believe UCLA is actually opening its football team. It's actually opening its doors to fans this year, unlike the Chip Kelly era. my Cal Bears, I believe this was last weekend they had their spring spectacular as they start, in their ACC era for the Bruins football team. It'll be the Big Ten. I'm sure the guys will talk about that and probably Bruins who are going to be drafted in the NFL draft this week. Remember, I told you that when I come back, I'll be talking to you guys about what the Rams and the Chargers are doing. There is the bare minimum where Jake and I and to some extent Mike last night had a little off-the-air texting combo on campuses these days. Jake's daughter is at Megan is at my alma mater, Cal Berkeley. Things are happening there, as things are happening at other places like NYU and Columbia. But, of course, you guys can read about that in the newspaper, this show. West Coast Bias is about L.A. sports. And right now, L.A. sports doesn't feel like a good time to talk about it, but in misery and in happiness, I'm going to discuss it with you guys because I promised I would, and I think it'll help me get me back into my podcasting mojo. So let's get into it. Let's start with the weekend. The Lakers opened their first round series against the defending champion Denver Nuggets on Saturday, and they pretty much did everything that everybody kind of expected after last season's sweep. They were up by 12 points at one point. They were only up by 3 at the half, and then the second half just got away from them. Good game from Anthony Davis. LeBron, a so-so game. He did score like 26 points, but he had 7 turnovers and really struggled at the end of the half. Obviously, who can blame him? The guy is on his 21st NBA season. He's played the equivalent of 3 extra seasons with all the postseason games he's played. He's carried this Lakers team at times this year, and certainly since he got here, he looked gassed. And it's Denver. It's thin air. He looked gassed. Not making excuses. He didn't, but that's kind of the reality. So in that instance, when LeBron gives you a good game, AD is the most consistent player on both sides of the court for the entire game. You need your role players. And what did they do? Rui Hachimura and Austin Reaves, I think, were like 2 of 11 in game one. Just something really awful, not rebounding, just looking really bad. And then in you had D'Angelo Russell, who was famously with 6 of 20 from the field and 1 of 9 from 3. He took a brunt of the criticism afterwards. You know, unplayable, not good on defense, can't shoot. And frankly, you know, for somebody who's been for the last 3 months, certainly the key to the Lakers being able to get into the postseason, yeah, he looks terrible. He looked awful again. You know, I mentioned in the last podcast that he was averaged 6 points in the series last year, the series sweep last year, and he looked terrible in the first game. So, you know, with that, the Lakers lost 114-106. You know, terrible second half for them. Here we go again. And Monday night, they said, hold my beer. The Lakers were up by 15 at the half. At one point in the third quarter, they stretched it to 3 points. I mean, not 3 points, 20 points. A 20-point lead on the Denver Nuggets. They were doing a great job on Joker. Jamal Murray again, you know, and that's the thing. Joker and Murray did not have great games in the, you know, for them. They had good, Joker, of course, had his typical good game in game one, but Jamal Murray struggled until, of course, the second half, and he started hitting shots. But it was really the role players, KCP, I always forget his name. I'm going to say Aaron Gordon, and somebody's going to correct me. And then, of course, Michael Porter Jr., guys like that, they were just doing what they do best. The Nuggets are as good as their two big guys, but their role players are certainly the key. I mean, and certainly in this matchup, the Lakers bench was terrible. I think they only got like 6 points in the first game or something like that. Something ridiculous that in a postseason you just can't have that happen. I mean, I don't care what part of you are in your collective franchise, but a postseason game, you cannot have a bench scoring less than 20 points and then expecting to win. Because your starters aren't going to be always great, obviously, with D'Angelo Russell shooting so terribly in the first game. So you need guys to pick it up off the bench, and the Lakers, just their bench depth is terrible. And then they're terrible on both sides. And you know they're terrible on both sides because the Nuggets, I think they had a, in the first game, I think it was something like 12-0 run or something like that. I mean, when they wiped away the lead, it was the 12-0 run. Something ridiculous. In like 3 minutes. And most of that was because either LeBron was out or AD was out. In this game, they were up by 30. I mean, excuse me. How do I keep saying that? They were up by 20 in the third period. And then they just got blitzed by Denver. It's a 12-0 run. You know, instead of a 12-6 run, something like that. And it's the same thing. Guys like Austin Reaves, Rui Hachimura was 1-7. He's looked terrible in these games. Austin Reaves hasn't really done anything in these two games. They just, you know, I know Reaves is he one? I don't know if he's one of the starters or not. I get confused. That's the other problem. We'll talk about rotation, but you know, they're just, these guys aren't helping LeBron and AD at all. And a lot of that fell on D'Lo, but obviously D'Lo made 7 3-pointers last night. D'Lo made 7 3-pointers. He threw 7 of 8. And really, he was one of the reasons that they had the big lead. He hit some clutch shots, even at the end of the game, when they needed it. He was as best as you could ask in terms of when you're getting games like they are from AD, who was great. I think he was 10 of 14. Did a good job on Jokic most of the game to keep the Lakers up, to prevent the Nuggets from really getting back into games. I already mentioned LeBron. He almost got a freaking triple-double, and he hit some clutch shots in the fourth quarter. You get that from three starters, and then the rest of the team was just, it's just awful. It really was. And when I say rotations, it's like when the real problem sometimes with this Lakers team, and it's not just with the Nuggets. I mean, they blew an 18-point game lead in the playing game against the New Orleans Pelicans. They just got, they were able to hit shots at the end, and then the only person hitting shots for the Pelicans in that game was Zion Williamson, he went out, and then that was that. The Lakers were able to maintain their lead. You know, nobody. Jamal Murray wasn't going out for the Nuggets last night. And that kind of feels like the only way the Lakers are going to win a game, by the way. But, yeah, the rotation. It's just like, I don't understand why you would, I don't know if Rob Pelinka and Darvin Ham communicate, but why would you go out and get Gabe Vincent, who's supposed to be this sixth man that you guys are really hyping up when you got him from Miami. He's supposed to help out on the perimeter defense. I know Jared Vanderbilt's out. So you get Gabe Vincent back, and he only played 6 minutes in the first game, when it's pretty obvious the guard play, especially the role players, like guys like KCP, were torching the Lakers in that game. And then once again, in this game, Jamal Murray, who again wasn't shooting well in the first half, second half started to heat up. We'll get to that last shot in a minute. Second half starts to heat up, and then you don't have anybody who can defend him on the perimeter. Austin Reeves can't defend him on the perimeter. At one point, they had to put LeBron James on him because Anthony Davis was doing such a good job defending Jokic one-on-one. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know how they communicate these kind of strategies. I don't know from what planet Darvin Ham is from that he thinks that, you know, he's got the right matchups when this has happened over and over and over again. And he just won't do anything different. Gabe Vincent wasn't in the game at the end. I don't know what they signed him for. I don't know why they gave him all that money and touted him as their big signing to help him out on the perimeter. I know defense was one of the big things. He's supposed to be one of these raw dogs from Miami, and they just aren't giving him that chance. And basically, you had to coach. I heard on the radio yesterday that Darvin Ham had to coach as if that was Game 7, and he coached it like it was a Game 2. And the Lakers had a 20-point lead that dwindled, and then he didn't know what to do. So in terms of the last shot, there's nothing you can do about it. But it was pretty telling that Darvin Ham had two timeouts at the end of that game, didn't do anything with them. LeBron James hoisted up, he's hoisted up a shot. Yeah, just no offensive sequence. And that's kind of what happens in these games. The Lakers, their offense just goes away. I mean, that's how they built the 20-point lead. People were like, wow, they're actually coming out of the half, not blowing things, and having some good offensive plays, some sort of sequencing to their offense, keeping the Nuggets on their toes, and then they just completely went away from that. And that's why they struggled, and that's why they got outscored. I mean, they were up 15 at the half, and then they get outscored by 15, 17 for the rest of the game, and that was it. That was it. Just absolutely ridiculous. I am so frustrated with this team. I really, really wish, this is me just going into rant mode, I really wish there was some sort of miracle where these bus kids could just decide to sell. I really wish there was. I know it's never going to happen. Nobody's stupid enough to give up this golden goose, especially when you haven't done anything with your life. Everything's been handed to you. It's just absolutely fucking ridiculous that they got, blown out, swept, whatever you want to call it, last year in the Western Conference Finals. And they just didn't do anything to address what they needed to, or they did on the margins, or they, poo-pooed. You know, it's just like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is weird. It's like the Lakers have morphed into this version of what other teams used to be like, and that's what it feels like. I feel like this team is like, I don't know, those like 2000 Blazers where they sort of get in the postseason, they go up against the Lakers, their nemesis, and then they just couldn't do anything. They'd get swept despite having talent on the roster, supposedly good coaching, and they just get swept out of there by Shaq and Kobe. We're like the fucking Wizards in the 2000s. Where they'd had Arenas and Antoine Jameson, and they'd win a first-round series, and then they'd go up against LeBron, young LeBron, and then they couldn't figure anything out, and they'd lose in five or four. And that's really what the Lakers are. I mean, that's what they are. They've basically wasted the LeBron years. They have. They've done it with dumb roster decisions. That Westbrook trade is worse every fucking year. Because they've hamstrung themselves. They seemingly go after these vets like Marc Gasol and I'm just going to call him the Penguin. I can't remember right now. Driving in the fucking desert on my way to work. Sorry, this isn't the most sophisticated podcast. You know, they make these moves for these veterans, and then they don't play them, or, like, the coach doesn't know what to do with them. They had the formula for what you needed in the NBA after they won the championship in 2020. You need perimeter defense. Everybody hoists threes. And you need size. You need size because one of the teams they faced in that postseason, actually two of the teams they faced in that postseason, had some size. That was the Nuggets and Jokic and the Miami with Adebayo. And in the middle, you know, size in the middle. And the Lakers had ways to combat that. They had the formula for teams like that. They had the formula for teams who wanted to shoot. And they just completely went away with it. They thought that Russell Westbrook, you know, this whole three superstar thing is what they needed. And it's just blown up in their face time and time again. They've never been out of the seventh seed. I mean, except for the year they missed the postseason. Since they won the title, I'm talking about here. It's been playing and playing. Sometimes it's injuries, but a lot of times it's just the roster. It's not a good regular season team, or they're an okay regular season team. They've got to do these mad scrambles just to get in the postseason, and once they get there, you know, yeah, they got to the Western Conference. You know, last year, that's fool's gold. They got to the Western Conference final. You can only play the team that they played, and you play in front of you. But come on, folks. Last year, the play-in game was against Minnesota. They almost blew that. And Minnesota was shorthanded. I believe that was the one where Nas Reed broke his hand. I can't remember if it was Gobert was out in that game, but they already had another injury, right? The next year, it's you know, there's no big man that can go up against AD against the Grizzlies. They're blowing guys out there. You know, they're winning games, close games. You know, John Morant injury, they get through them in six. The Warriors, they just have more size. Klay Thompson's obviously been a shell of himself since he came back from his injuries after post-2019, and they used that to their advantage. And then they ran into a team that they matched up against, or that matched up against them. Depth, size, speed, one of the best teams in the NBA, and they waxed them. They waxed four straight, same formula, over and over again. And they're doing it again this year. And it's really frustrating. It's really frustrating. And frankly, they don't have a lot of options. They're going to lose this series. Yeah, they might win a game at Staples. They might not. I mean, just the way things have gone. But even if they win one game, it's not going to matter. They're still going to lose the series. I had predicted five because you can only lose two. You know, Denver is not going to be perfect every game. They can't slack off. Maybe they won't get one of the bounces. I mean, last night, LeBron steals the ball, slams it home, 95-92. They play good defense. They deflect the ball away. It just lands at Michael Porter Jr.'s feet, and he hits a three-pointer to tie the game with, like, a minute left. You know, if that ball doesn't bounce that way for him, then it's a completely different story. The Lakers steal the ball. They hold on to it. They get some free throws, and they steal game one. It doesn't matter. They're not... They needed to get all the bounces, and they didn't. The series is over. You can't be up 20 against any team and blow it and think you're going to win a series. I'm sorry. So that's that for the Lakers. I'll quickly move on to the Kings. Yeah, just as I predicted, they don't have the speed. They look like slow as molasses. They gave up two goals almost immediately. Zach Hyman had a hat trick last night. A lot of it had to do with the power play, and that's what killed them last year in the postseason against the Edmonton Oilers. I think the Kings gave up three power play goals last night, and they ended up losing 7-4. You know, there was sort of a turning point. They're down 4-2. They're actually down 4-1. It looks like they score a goal by Trevor Lewis that gets waved off. They do eventually score a goal right afterwards. They could have gotten into the third period 4-3, but I don't think it would have mattered. They would have just lost the game 7-5 because as soon as the Kings are on the power play, penalty kill, they give up penalties, and the Oilers are on the power play, there's nothing they can do about it. And that's with the Kings being fourth this year in penalty kills, but against the Oilers, they just turned into a minor league JV hockey team. I mean, they're just not fast enough, it seems like. There's nobody out there who can hit, you know, and that's what you have to do in the postseason. You have to play big. There's nobody out there who can play big for the Kings. You know, Kopitar's too old for that. Doughty seemingly is too old for that. It feels like it's just a step slower, although I don't feel like that was always his game. There were other defenders on the team that really did that. But there's nobody who can stay with Connor McDavid. There's no one who can stay with Leon Draisaitl. Zach Hyman has turned into Gordie Howe against the Kings in the postseason. It's just futile. And you can call this one the matchups podcast, because that's what it is. The Lakers don't match up against the Nuggets. The Kings can't match up against the Oilers. And it's just going to be an early exit for both of them. I predicted that, and it's all pretty much coming true to a T. It doesn't make me Nostradamus, but because anyone who's watched these two teams play this year should have been able to see that and predict the same thing. And most people did. I mean, nobody. I don't think I saw ESPN poll of their hockey personnel. And it was 23 people out of 26 picked the Oilers in various scenarios. You know, I'm sure if I looked at the NBA one, everyone probably picked Denver. So, you know what? It is what it is. This is what I predicted would happen. It's happening exactly like I said it would. And it's going to be an interesting offseason for the both of them. The Kings and the Lakers are going to have a lot of decisions to make. So we'll see. Dodgers start up again today. They're on the road. I think they start with the Nationals. Team they struggle against at home. We'll see how they do on the road. I told you on this Thursday is the NFL draft. Let me see what else. The NFL draft and the Lakers game 3 on Thursday. I think the Lakers could win that game, but I don't know how, really. Unless they come back from 20 this time, I don't know. Like, I don't even know how that team can think, well, we've got a lead, we can win this, because psychologically they're just not there. So. And with the Kings, their next game is tomorrow, Wednesday. Yeah, that's definitely do or die. Somehow they can squeak out a win or figure something out, outscore them. They don't have the firepower, but if they can somehow slow them down, maybe, you know, they can make the Oilers sweat, but they probably won't. So Kings will go down. Oh, yeah, I wanted to say, wow, I was wrong about the Clippers. You know, I think on the last podcast I didn't even talk about Kawhi's injury. He's got a sore knee. Obviously, Kawhi's had knee issues going all the way back to the Spurs. He's never really played a full postseason for the Clippers, except for the 2020 season when they blew that 3-1 lead against the Nuggets, right when they were on the cusp of playing the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. So, which, you know, irony of irony. So, since then, you know, he's had one brilliant game here, one brilliant game there, but the team has had to move on without him. And then in game one, it was Harden and Paul George playing well. Luka Doncic, who ended up a finalist for MVP. Luka Doncic had to struggle just to get his points. I think he was 11 of 36 or something like that. From the field, hit a bunch of free throws, but wasn't enough, and the Mavs got blown out. I was quite surprised the Mavs got blown out. Clippers won their first game, then game two is tonight, Tuesday night, so it'll be interesting. And of course, the Celtics won their game. There's no Jimmy Butler. They're going to probably sweep Miami. This might be the worst summer of basketball for Lakers fans, you know, getting swept out of the first round by the Nuggets again. And then watching the Celtics go to the finals and probably win. They've been the best team all year. We'll see. I mean, they don't necessarily match up well against the Nuggets as well, but they've got some perimeter defense. They've got speed. They've got somebody who can make shots. And I forget the kid's name. The kid who thinks he's Toby. Anyway, you know, they have an X factor in Porzingis. This could be an awful, awful summer. NBA postseason for the Lakers. Sorry, I took a sip of my Dunkin' coffee there. Arizona musings. Nothing to talk about right now. You know, Arizona softball is doing something, and Arizona baseball is, they're both heading into postseason. And then that'll be it for them. Once we transition to summer, everyone, the Pac-12 disintegrates and it becomes the Pac-2, and Arizona's going to Big 12. So we'll see about that. I guess I can keep you guys abreast about that. Oh, I guess really quickly, there's a few things I missed in the last podcast that I guess I could have talked about, and it stems from, you know, not doing this regularly, but with the postseason ramping up and the Dodgers starting, and if this car cast works, I might be doing this more regularly, since I usually have a 30-minute commute. Aaron Donald retired. Aaron Donald retired back in March. This was around, early March. He called it quits. He had tried to call it quits after winning the Super Bowl, came back, gave him another 2 great years, and he's retired. Probably the best interior defensive lineman ever. You can certainly put him up there with Reggie White. And probably, frankly, one of the greatest Ram of all time. I mean, you can't doubt that, right? If you're talking about, it's probably him, Deacon Jones, Kurt Warner, and I'd be hard-pressed to find another one, maybe somebody like Eric Dickerson. It's pretty amazing all that he's done. Defensive Player of the Year in the NFL, I think, 3 times. I thought he should have won the MVP at least once, the overall MVP, but that seems to be a quarterback award now. But you can't ask for anything more than him. You know, I think he got 2 sacks in the Super Bowl, made the final play there on the fourth down to prevent the Bengals from extending the game and winning the championship for the Rams. Could have easily won the Super Bowl MVP if not for the heroics of Cooper Kupp. The game before that, in the NFC Championship game, he made that final play against to force Jimmy Garoppolo into an interception, clinching the NFC title. Previous to that, he had already taken the Rams, helped the Rams get to a Super Bowl, really the face of the franchise when they moved to L.A., and just spectacular. Number 99, couldn't ask for a better player in terms of impact on that side of the ball. And he's going to go down as one of the greats NFL Hall of Famer. I really think they should build a statue of him outside of SoFi. There's plenty of pictures out there that they can use, but really, really an impactful player before he got to L.A., but, you know, at the face of the franchise when they moved, trying to get fans to come back to watch NFL, and then obviously the championship impact. You can't ask for anything better from one of your star players. So, we'll see what the Rams do this year without AD99, but certainly deserves the accolades. And, you know, one of the things I missed in not talking to you guys for so long. So, almost at work. So, for those who want to know, that's 27 minutes. I will definitely come back, obviously, depending on what happens in the Lakers series and in the Kings series and in the Clippers series. If the Clippers move on, I'll talk about the Clippers. It's the playoffs. Unlike other people, namely my co-host, who doesn't want to talk about them, I'll talk about them. You know, I'm not a hater. I don't really think about the Clippers that much. Lakers actually beat them 3 out of 4 times this year. For the first time since the Kobe era that they won a series against them, but we'll see how their season goes, how their season progresses, and of course there's the Dodgers. You know, we'll see how if they can sort of get themselves out of this weird funk that they're in after starting out so strong at the beginning of the season. But I think I screwed it up the last time, but this time I'm signing off the right way. Again, listen to West Coast Bias on the What's Growing Network. Listen to the What's Growing Symposium, the bare minimum. If Michael Hanna jumps in on Twitter, those Twitter jam sessions, whatever they're called, jump in on that and listen to the B Team. West Coast, Best Coast, West Coast Bias.
West Coast Bias.